The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Australia has hit a very interesting time in the pandemic. The borders are reopening, most of the population is getting vaccinated, and the road out of COVID is stretched in front of us. But now there's talk of a new variant in South Africa. So yeah, the road out is going to have some speed bumps. Joining me now to help us understand it is the head of epidemiological modelling at Monash University, Professor James Trower. Good morning, James.
Hi, Ben.
And now, there's a lot to talk about today, but I want to start with your home state of Victoria. Over 1,200 new COVID cases today, and you've hit 90% fully vaxxed. So, like, why haven't we seen a reduction in cases like we did in New South Wales when they hit, you know, sort of 80% vaccination?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what we're seeing play out is the fact that Melbourne, for a range of reasons, some of which we understand and some of which we don't, just has more trouble than a lot of other parts of Australia. And that's pretty consistent with, I think, what we've seen around the world, that for some reason, high-income cities in temperate regions, often particularly in winter, I guess we're not in winter now, but Melbourne's just had a lot of those factors with its colder climate that have probably driven it towards having more problems. Some of those things, you know, haven't been consistent across the world. Some of them have. We don't fully understand it, but I just think Melbourne's got some factors, structural factors, that mean it's at higher risk.
Mm. And there must be, today, as we talk, thousands of people in Victoria who have COVID, but there's only 48 cases in the ICU. So is that a real sign that the vaccine is doing what we hoped it would do and winning the fight?
Absolutely. I mean, it totally is at the moment. And even those people in ICU, like a large proportion of them, are unvaccinated, of course. So I think we're seeing a huge level of protection. I mean, I think that's what we're seeing in Melbourne and large parts of the world. I mean, we are getting quite a few vaccine breakthroughs in other parts of the world, like in the UK at the moment. They've got quite a few elderly cases in their vaccine breakthrough cases in the elderly population. And when you get to very high levels of vaccine coverage, you will see that, and it doesn't mean that the vaccines aren't working. But for Delta, I mean, Delta, clearly the vaccines are still highly effective. So yeah, it's clearly what our strategy should be at the moment.
Mm, yeah, and how important do you think it'll be to get that sort of booster coverage, like getting the timing right on that?
Yeah, well, I guess we'll come to talking about this new variant soon, but with Delta in particular, I think, yeah, it is important, and it's not just a booster. I mean, I guess, like, we've been using the term booster a lot, but getting that third dose in actually pushes your protection up to greater than what it was after two doses, and we don't know whether you'll need further doses after the third dose. It might just be that you need a really good three-dose initial course to get an excellent level of immunity that will then protect you for a long period of time after that against Delta. So I think the timing is important too. And I guess there's a question now in Victoria whether we want to try to push numbers down a bit by getting more people actively boosting more people. And that's tricky. I mean, I think next winter is going to be our biggest danger period.
Mm. And we're watching over here in the West as South Australia reopened its borders this week, and straight away they've had a couple of COVID cases. Is that pretty much what we could expect here in Western Australia when we reopen? That's just the reality. You reopen the borders, let people in, even fully vaccinated people, and you're going to get COVID cases?
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, you certainly get some COVID cases. I guess the question is whether you get a situation like Melbourne or more like a situation like New South Wales. I think given that WA has not had a huge amount of trouble so far, I think you would hopefully be fairly positive about it, that you're not going to get an explosive out of control epidemic when you open with high levels of vaccination coverage and a variant that we now understand pretty well in Delta. I think we can be fairly comfortable that we shouldn't in WA see ICUs totally overwhelmed if the borders reopen and Delta gets in. But yeah, there is a concern around new variants.
Mm. Well, and before we get onto the new variants, New South Wales is going to scrap their QR code check-ins and some other safety measures when the state hits 95% double vaxxed around mid-December. Do you think it's wise to throw out those public health tools, or is that just part of the acceptance that COVID will eventually become like the flu?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess broadly, I think that we do have to head in that direction of just relying on vaccination and relying on population immunity to protect us. I think all of these other things like aggressive contact tracing and the other public health interventions that we've put in place up until now, they're not sustainable in the longer term, and clearly lockdowns are not. And I don't think any of us would want to see QR codes continue for years and years into the future. I think all of these things, and travel bans too that we've been talking about, they should all hopefully be temporary measures that we use while we bridge through to getting vaccination really ramped up, as it is in New South Wales, as the main thing that protects us. So I support it generally, and I guess it's just a question of timing. But QR codes, I think there's a considerable privacy issue about that. We've also got to, I guess, keep a few things up our sleeves that we can pull out if we do run into a lot of trouble. And so I think face masks and working from home and those sorts of things are things that we should be able to switch on and off, and we should be ready to do that.
Yeah, I think keep them in the toolbox is a good idea. And now let's talk about this new coronavirus variant that has emerged in South Africa. What do we know about that?
Yeah, well, it is very, very early because I think, as far as I know, the news only started breaking yesterday, and the South African Ministry of Health did a press conference just within the last 24 hours or so. So we really don't know very much yet. But I think what we do know is actually a bit concerning. We've talked about variants on this show together before, and I think the ones that we've seen, other than Delta, I guess since Delta emerged, they have not been quite as concerning as this one. I mean, because I think one of the clearest signals is how quickly does the new variant take over from the old variant, and this one seems like in Botswana and a province of South Africa, it's gone from very low proportions through to very high proportions quite quickly. That, I mean, again, we don't know that much about it, but it seems like that's what's happened. So it could have some characteristics that Delta doesn't, we'll know more in the next couple of weeks, but it's pretty concerning.
Mm. And this idea that it may have evolved during a chronic infection in a person with a weakened immune system, possibly an untreated HIV/AIDS patient, how much of that do you think is speculative and needs to be resolved further by the scientific community? And how much of it is, do you think, something that you can see when it comes to how viruses mutate and evolve?
Well, it's always a bit speculative, and I mean, there's enough transmission out there that it doesn't really matter, I would think, whether one person has a sort of a longer period of time with the infection. There's a huge amount of potential for this virus to mutate. I mean, Delta's across the entire world, and it's transmitting, and you know, like there's millions of people probably at the moment who have got it, and so it has that potential to select out new mutations through that. So, I mean, the thing that I've been most concerned about is that a new mutant will emerge in a highly vaccinated population, and it will be very much an immune escape variant. And we have seen high levels of transmission in highly vaccinated populations, so that's where I've been the most worried. And so I mean, I guess, you know, fingers crossed, Ben, this new variant hasn't emerged in that context. But yeah, we just don't know yet.
Mm. So be alert, not alarmed. I think that is the message here. Professor James Trow from Monash University, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on The West Live.
Thanks, Ben.